At the beginning of this month, we started a short series on family, and we looked first at the church as family. We looked at grandparents. We looked at fathers. Last week, we looked at mothers in the family, and today we're going to be looking at children in the family. Often I hear parents say, you know, children don't come with instructions. And in some sense, that's true. But for the Christian, that is not true, because God has given us every principle that we need to lead our children to faith in His Word. We have God's instruction book. And if we consult this book and follow the guidance of this book, we will see our children grow up to be productive and faithful. Train up a child in the way he should go. Not the way he wants to go, not the way he will go if we just allow him to have his own way, but train up a child in the way he should go according to God's Word, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I am conscious that when we talk about children, that's some sort of a term that at some point around 5th, 6th grade, moving into junior high, you no longer like to be referred to as children. And so I'm going to be speaking today to our young people. And what I mean by that are those who still live under the roof of their parents. So anyone in that category, I'm going to be talking to you. That group's scattered today in this crowd. At second service, I'm going to have a captive audience right down front here when they're all together. But I'll be speaking to all those who are young people. And this morning, I want to give credit to Jack Exum. Some of you were blessed to have heard Jack Exum before he passed away. He wrote a little book called How to Handle Your Parents. And I think that's a great little book. And so this morning, I'm going to share four or five, if we have time, steps for our young people here on how to handle your parents. And I know some of you have difficult parents to handle, and some of you have a lot of grief in your home that comes from your parents, and you get tired of some of the things they say to you and the stories they tell you and the restrictions they place on you. And I will promise you that if you will implement these four steps, things will change for the better as far as your parents go. Now, this is not an expository sermon. 99% of the sermons that I preach are expository sermons, where we open to a particular text, and we go through that, and we look at what the text says, and then we figure out what the text means, and then we apply the text. We're not going to be doing that this morning. We're going to just be going through, and I'll be talking directly to the young people who are here in the crowd this morning. The first thing in changing your parents is to simply acknowledge, as difficult as you may have it in your home, to acknowledge that you're no bargain to live with either. That's the first step. You think I've lost them already, huh? Okay, I don't think so. You ever wish that your parents would buy you nicer clothes or more expensive shoes, the kind that all the other kids wear, or that they would take you on nicer vacations, or buy a bigger home for you to live in so that you could have your own room and everything just like you want it? Anybody here ever wish their parents would buy them a new car? Well, let me tell you, you're the reason they can't. Children are expensive. I looked online last night, and the average cost of raising a child in these United States in the year 2012, and it's going to go up next year, the average cost is $235,000 per child. That's expensive. Doctor bills, hospital bills, dentist bills, braces, sports gear, fees, clothes, a place to live, food, college. By the time you have a college-educated child, you have spent $235,000 on the average. You know why your parents don't have nicer things and why they don't buy you more stuff? It's because they got you instead. That's the reason that things are not always better. Now, when your parents or when your teachers or when other adults in your life or even your peers seem difficult to live with, let me just ask you this. Why don't you stop and consider? I wonder how my mom and my dad would change if I were neat and tidy instead of sloppy and messy. Now, let's be kind to our young people this morning. Ask yourself this. I wonder how my teacher would be if I were nice and pleasant to them instead of rude and disrespectful. Ask yourself, I wonder how considerate others would be of me if I were not so impatient and pushy myself. You see, the point is, you're no bargain to live with either. And the truth is, I'm not either. No adult is either, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all have things about us that make us not as likable as we could otherwise make ourselves. You know, it's hard to take the initiative. And we all tend to think that, when my parents start treating me better, then I'll start cleaning up my room and I'll begin to be more pleasant to be around. And when my friends begin to act nicer to me or my teachers act nicer, then I'll act nice to them. It takes a big person to take the first step, to take the initiative. If you wait for the other person to get nice before you're nice, you may wait for the rest of your life and nothing will ever change. The secret is that you cannot change your parents. You cannot change your teachers. You cannot change other people. I am the only person that I have the ability to change. And if I will begin to change, I will, by my change, affect other change in all those around me. So the first step in handling your parents is in taking control of your actions and taking responsibility of your own life and acknowledging that I'm not the most pleasant person to live with either. And let me just say this to all of you parents who are here today, and any of the young people that want to, you can amen this one. All of the griping and the complaining and the belly aching and the fuming that parents do does nothing to change your child. Do you know that? The only thing that will change anyone is that person's desire to change themselves. Every one of us have had to come to that point in our lives before any change was ever able to take place. Now, conflict in a growing family is natural. Understand that. Everybody has conflict. You're not going to raise children without having difficulties. Children are not going to grow up in their parents' home without feeling hard done by. That's natural, because everyone in the family has different desires and values and wants and wishes. But the truth is this, and young people, you need to hear this. The teenage years are the most self-centered years of your entire life. You're very self-absorbed, very self-focused. Life has a way of changing that. Life has a way of taking away the selfish focus. Life has a way of broadening your horizon, and that's a good thing. But during those teenage years, you tend to be more self-absorbed than you will be at any other stage in your life. Thus, it's going to be the most difficult time of your life. Change in your parents only begins with change in you. Now, number two, how to change your parents, how to handle your parents. Number two, I want to just talk to you about something that has to change fundamentally. And I want to just talk about it like killing this particular sin in your life. You're going to have to treat it like you treat Dracula. You know, you had to have an oak stake, and you've seen the old movies, and Dracula's there in the coffin, and you get to him, before the sun comes up, or before the sun goes down, and you get in there, and there he is in the coffin, and you put that stake on his heart, and you get the mallet, and you drive it in. His fangs are out, and he's hissing, but you drive the stake in, and he stays dead once that stake is in his heart. You can't bypass this second step. And if you have been doing this, you must resolve that you will never, ever, ever do it again. And I'm not talking about speaking disrespectfully to your parents. And I'm not even talking about having sex before marriage. And I'm not even talking about alcohol or drugs. Now, if you do these things, you will shame God, and you will shame your family, and you will shame yourself. But you can live through those things, and you can recover. What I'm talking about is worse than these things. I'm talking about the one thing you must stop cold turkey and never do again. And I would encourage you, by way of a memory marker in your life, if you can find an old piece of wood, a wood stake around your house, that you write today's date on that, and you go outside somewhere where you can see it, and up against the edge of the house or by the fence, you get a hammer and you drive that stake into the ground, just like you were driving it into Dracula's heart. And every time you walk by that stake and see the date, you'll know that from this day forward, I will never, ever, ever lie to my parents again. That is the one thing that must stop if change is to ever take place. Now, I'll just tell you a little secret. You look around this room, and every adult you see here lied to their parents at some point. I mean, there may be one or two rare exceptions, but everybody lied to their parents at some point. And I'm talking about deliberate deception, not making a mistake. I'm talking about times when you're headed to the store and you run by your girlfriend's house, and then you get home and your dad says, "Where you been?" "Oh, I just went to the store." And you don't tell the whole truth. You deliberately deceive your parents about where you've been and what you've done. It's the kind of lie that misleads and deceives. And you've got to stop doing that, even if you're afraid of how your parents will react if you tell them the truth. Even if you know they're going to be mad at you if you tell them the whole story, you've got to resolve to be truthful from the inside out. From this day forward, I will always tell my parents the truth. And the reason this is so important is because honesty is fundamental to every relationship in life. If you lie to your parents and get in the habit of doing that, then you're going to lie to God, and you're going to lie to your friends, and when you get married, you're going to lie to your husband or to your wife, and deceit will become a way of life, and you're going to be just like the devil because he's the father of lies. Resolve that you will break that habit early on. The first lies you ever tell will be to your parents. Resolve that you're going to stop doing that, that you will tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Let me tell you, lying to your parents is the worst thing that you can ever do to them. Because when you lie to them, then they learn early on that they cannot trust you. And trust is the essential element in relationship. Now, I had children, and therefore I had liars in my home. All children will do this on occasion. And one of our daughters, we would have come in sometimes, and we tried to figure out how to help her overcome this, and so we just would find out little bits and nuggets that we would overhear about things that were going on. And when things came to a head, we would wait up for her. And when she would come in at night, we would say, I want you to sit down here at the table. We need to have a little family discussion. And we would say, we know that last Friday night you were with such and such, and we know where you were. And we're not asking you this to get information. We're asking you this to see how honest you're going to be with us. No, we want the whole story. And that never failed to allow the beans to be spilled. Sometimes we got more truth than we wanted. Jesus said that those who lie are of the devil. In the book of Revelation, we read clearly that those who are liars will end up in the lake of fire. And let me again say this to parents. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, raised boys that made phenomenal changes in this world. She had 16 rules for raising children, and one of these rules dealt with lying. Listen to this rule. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. There's no way to have a right relationship with your parents without trust. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, Paul wrote, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Honesty and transparency are the very foundation of relationship. So I would encourage any young person who's here today who has been lying to their parents, you go home tonight and you sit down with them and you start telling them the truth. Now, they may have tears in their eyes if you do that, and you'll have tears in your eyes too. But tell them, I have been lying to you. And I know you'll say, they'll kill me if I do that. No, they won't. It's against the law. They can't do that. I'll tell you what they will do. They will open up their arms, and they will open up their hearts. They may offer you some advice, but I can promise you that if you will do that to your parents, they will give you grace, the same grace that they themselves have received from God. And something else, your parents already know that you're lying if you've been doing it. They already know that. Parents have a sixth sense, and they can tell when their children are being dishonest with them. They may not say anything to you about it. They may avoid conflict in the home by not bringing it up, but they know when you're lying. My mother, when we were just very young, when we would say something, she would look in our eyes and she'd say, I see green in your eyes. And that just terrified me. And I thought, boy, that's a dead giveaway. I didn't know how she could see it, but she could see it. And I was nearly in junior high before I ever figured out she couldn't see anything in my eyes. Did you know that privileges are always attached to truthfulness? If you have become practiced in lying to your parents know that. And when you come in and you say, Dad, can I have the car? I want to go over to Leroy's house. You know what your dad's thinking in the back of his mind? That boy's a liar. And he'll say, you always drive the speed limit, son? Yes, Dad, I always drive the speed limit. You know what he's thinking? Liar. He'll run the wheels off that car if I give him the keys. And you'll get a no answer more than you'll get a yes answer when you ask for privileges because your parents can't trust you. I remember one of our children used to try to play that trust card with us. And when we would say no, they'd say, don't you trust me? And we learned to give the answer that God would have us give, and that's, no, we don't trust you. When you act trustworthy, then we'll trust you. But you know, if you have been transparent and truthful with your parents, and then you go and say, Mama, can I go over to Megan's house this evening? She'll say, well, sure you can, honey. And when you get over there and you decide to go with a group of your friends down to Andy's to get a concrete, and you call home and say, you know, we're over here at Megan's, but we want to go down and get some ice cream. Wonderful. Y'all have fun. Be careful. That's the way parents act with children who are truthful and honest with them. Privileges are always attached to truthfulness. And there's no greater feeling that you'll ever have than coming clean and being truthful with your parents and all the people in your life. When you're truthful, you can square your shoulders and stand up straight and look at yourself in the mirror and look at your parents in the eye. And when they call your name and they say, Joe, you don't have to suddenly be afraid. Well, what'd they find out? Who they've been talking to? You don't have to be afraid when you tell the truth. Okay, that's number two. Number three, demand your right to contribute in your family as a young person. Demand your right to contribute. You're a family member. Be a contributing family member. Do something good around your house every day without even being asked. That's the way adults act. Don't ask. Just do it. Take the garbage out without anyone saying it. And as you're taking the garbage out and you walk by your dad, sing as you walk by. And he'll say, where are you going? Well, I'm taking the garbage out. And just sing and be happy. That'll drive him up the wall. That'll drive him crazy. He won't know what's going on. Just do something without being asked. Do little projects. Secretly, empty the dishwasher. Put the dishes away. And when your mom comes in, she'll say, who emptied the dishwasher? And you just say, I did. And don't make any big deal about it. And all of that will be registered in her mind, in your dad's mind. They'll begin to take note of all these things that you're doing. And you know what that does? That builds trust. That makes him have confidence in you. You need to cease to be just a kid at home. You need to begin making contributions to the family. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he talked about the responsibility of being part of a body. And he says, the body grows as each part does its work. That's the way it is in the family. That's the way it is in the church. But let me give you a warning. Change happens slowly. Don't just go home and try this for 1 week and expect your parents to be totally changed. Make it a way of life, and I can promise you in 3 months, you're going to see big changes in your home and the way your parents relate to you. And then the last thing, say thank you at least 5 times every day. And I don't mean get up in the morning and just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean get up and be grateful for things. Notice around you. When you get up in the morning, did you know that you've been in a warm bed all night? Your house is thermostatically controlled, and the heat just comes on and you get up and you have breakfast. You have a wonderful place to come home to and sleep if there's a storm or if it's cold. And some of you have been to Mexico, and you know not everyone in the world lives like that. In fact, many, many people around this world don't enjoy any of the privileges that you enjoy on a daily basis and take just for granted. Thank God. Say, God, thank you for this wonderful home I have. Thank your parents for things they do for you. When you start to eat, say, Dad, we forgot to say thanks. Oh, yeah. Well, let's say thanks. And then thank God for the food you're about to eat. Say thank you 5 times every day. Thank your parents for your clothes. Thank your parents for working hard to provide for what you have. When you forget your lunch and your dad runs up to school and brings it, look him in the eye and say, Dad, thank you so much. I know I put you to extra trouble. Thank you for doing that. When your mother takes you somewhere on an errand or takes you shopping, look her in the eye and say, Mom, thank you so much for being such a good mother to me. Now, I'll tell you, when you begin to thank your parents, it will melt their hearts. There are two things that every parent hates. They hate a child that lies to them, and they hate a child that uses them. Don't use your parents. Appreciate them for what they do. It takes genuine humility to say, Mom and Dad, thank you so much for what you do for me. I'm going to give you one more. I said four, but I want to give you one last one because we have time. When your parents say no, be okay with that. No one ever gets everything they want. You ask your parents on the way home from church today, would you like a new house? Your mom would say, yes, I would, but I don't get everything I want. Ask your dad, would you like a brand new car? Yes, I would, but I don't get everything I want. If you're part of a family, if you're in a family of four, then about every fourth time you'll get a yes. Three times you'll get a no. If you're in a family of six, every sixth time you'll get a yes. Other five times you'll get a no. Everyone has to share in a family. No one gets everything they want. And so don't expect your parents to say yes to everything you ask of them. I remember Jack Exum talking to a group of kids, and he challenged them to all say it together. I think I'll have the kids at Second Service do this. He said, when your parents say no, can I go over to Joni's house tonight? No. No matter how mean they say it, you respond sweetly, okay, okay. Now, that'll confuse them at first, but it'll change them in the long run. You just respond sweetly. Normally you say, why not? All my friends are going. You never let me do anything. And there's a 15-minute war that goes on, and everyone goes away miserable. Even if you finally get what you want, you go away miserable, and you think, man, I've got a lousy mom. Just say, okay. And then ask them next time you want to do something. If they say, no, we can't do that. Okay. And then when something really important comes up, you go to them and don't separate them and play them against each other. Go to them together and say, Mom and Dad, there's something I really, really would love to do. Would you let me do this? And I can promise you, if you said okay sweetly several times, they're going to think twice before they say no another time. So, pull it all together. If you're transparently honest and trustworthy, if you contribute, if you occasionally go out and sweep out the garage and run the vacuum cleaner, do things without even being asked, if you're grateful, if you respond sweetly when they do say no, things will change in your home. Now, every one of these principles come from this book. And they apply to everyone, not just to young people. When we respond to people around us in this way, things change for the better always. I'm grateful that God gave each of us, as a training ground for life, a home. In the 68th Psalm, verse 6, it says, God sets the lonely in families. Think how hard it would be if you didn't have a mom and a dad to love you, and sacrifice for you, and put up with you. I'm grateful that God has given us families. This morning, if you're not part of God's spiritual family, then you're missing out on the best family relationship of all, because in God's spiritual family, you have a perfect Father in God. You have Jesus as your brother, and you have the Holy Spirit as your guide. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you this morning to take that step of faith by confessing Jesus and turning from your sins and being baptized. If you're here and you need the prayers of God's family, you have the greatest resource and support group that this world has ever known. We'll pray for you and we'll help you. If you need to come, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.